speaking with those who believed in him. And then he said something they didn't really understand. He said, if you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's John 8, and you read 31 and 32. Now they thought probably, we already believed you. Why you say that to us? Actually, they were offended that Jesus thought that they were not free. And they answered him, and they said in verse 33, we are Abram's offspring and have never been enslaved to no one. How is it that you say you shall become free? Now Jesus told them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. Verse 34. See, Jesus was not talking about physical slavery to the Assyrians or whatever. Jesus meant their hearts was not free. And then Jesus said something, and they were even more offended by that. He told them, if therefore the Son, and that's him, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Why did he say that? That he had to make them free. He said, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. The truth shall make you free. That's the Son. That's me. That's Jesus. Now, after this conversation, I think many of them were even more offended, but some believed him. Now, we all agree that unbelievers need to be set free. After all, they are still slaves of the devil. And they are in sin, often slaves to sin, and bondage and immorality and bloodshed and lying and cheating and a lot of other things. But what about born-again believers? Do they need to be set free also? After all, you know, we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and we have become children of God. And our sins are forgiven, and we are going to heaven. We no longer go out and rob a bank or murder someone or take drugs or live immoral lives. We are pretty good. We even go twice a week to church, and we give tithe, and we sing in the worship team, and we may even teach Sunday school. Now, do we need still to be set free? I became a Christian when I was 14. I was at a youth camp, and there were immediate changes in my life. I had joy, I had peace, I knew my sins were forgiven, I loved the Lord, and I could all of a sudden love others. And I had a desire to read God's word, and maybe 2 or 3 days later, I knew God called me for missions. Now, I thought, after this week or 2 weeks of camp, I come home, and I'm going to be a very good and wonderful person. So I came home, but I soon realized I still got angry with other people. I had a hard time to obey my parents. I yelled at my sister. I hated math in school, and I hated to eat spinach. So, what was wrong with my salvation? I thought I'm an angel from now on and forever. Nothing was wrong with my salvation. I just needed what Jesus told those Jews that believed in him. He said to them, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." See, at that time, I was very sincere, but I knew very little of the truth. My problem was, there was God's word that I heard, but there were also my feelings, and then other things I heard, and it was all mixed up together in one ball. You know, I didn't know I believed as much God's word as I believed my feelings, as I believed other influences. So everything was mixed up. This morning, I want to talk to you about how free do you want to be? Now, Jesus was about to go to the cross, and he prayed to the Father. We read his prayer in chapter 17 of the book of John. Now, when you read it through, he said a lot of things, but he requested five things for those he left behind, his followers. Now, if Jesus says this before the cross, these five things must be our greatest need. He requested from the Father, number one, keep them in thy name, verse 11. And then the second thing he requested, keep them from the evil one, verse 15. And then the third thing, sanctify them in the truth, verse 17. And then verse 21, he requested that they all may be one. And the last request he made, verse 24, that they be with me where I am. Now, one of these requests that Jesus had for our sake, for on our behalf, was regarding the freedom that we will have as believer. And that request is number three, sanctify them in the truth. Now, sanctify is a big word. It means actually being set apart, as holy or consecrate or purify or separate them. Now, I like the word separate because I told you everything in me was mixed up, the truths and my own thoughts and the devil's lies and everything was mixed up. And there need to be something happening that these things get separated. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16 says, "But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." All our behavior is supposed to reflect God himself. And so far it doesn't. Still the things are so mixed up. So why do we need this sanctification? Are we not already cleansed by the blood of Jesus? Yes, we are. We have a legal status that says that we are a new creation, that we are children of God, and that we are royalty. That's our legal status, and God signed the paper. That is forever. That's what you are. But practically speaking, when people look at us, the world is still inside of us. And the reason is, we lived in this world now for 20, 30, 40, maybe 50 years before we came to the Lord. and we thought and we talked and we behaved and we lived like everybody else. We lived one way. We automatically, after our salvation, will continue to do most of these things because that's the only thing we know. The truth of God's word is still mixed up with the world and with the thoughts and beliefs we have and with what we practice. Yet, we are royalty. We are children of God. And therefore, Jesus requested to the Father, you need to sanctify them. You need to separate all these mixed up things and make them in your image. The other day, I was watching in the evening. I flipped the TV on and there was this old Western. I don't know if you young people know that. That series, Big Valley. You know that? And the story was, there was this bandit, and he heard about that the Barclays, they owned a ranch, they were having a necklace that a duke brought to their house and asked them to keep it safe. So this bandit recruited his wife and told her that she need to dress up like royalty and pretend she's the niece of the duke and pick up this necklace. So she dresses up and she puts all the makeup on and she really looks like royalty. And so she comes to the Barclay Ranch and she says she's the niece of the duke and she wants the necklace to pick it up for her uncle. And they are so delighted to welcome her. And they say, well, sorry, we put the necklace in the bank, but tomorrow we will get it. Why you don't spend the night? So that girl has to spend the night. But the Barclays soon realize that the girl, she's dressed like royalty, but she doesn't really know how to act like royalty. You know, they had dinner, and she looks at fork and knife and doesn't know what to do with it. And then they observed her manners. Her manners had no refinement. And then they discover she didn't sleep in the nice soft bed, she slept on the floor. So, of course, that was the end of her story to get the necklace. Now, her dress said royalty, but her behavior said bandit. Often, it's very similar with us. We are the real deal. We are real Christians. However, we don't look and act who we are unless we are sanctified or separated from all the things of the world that is still in us. And we need to be transformed in the image of Christ. And that is what Jesus requested for us. So, who is sanctifying us? The Bible says that the Lord Jesus is doing it. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And then it talks in Hebrews 13:12. That Jesus sanctifies the people through his blood. And then the second person of the Trinity, the third person, the Holy Spirit, is also sanctifying us. 1 Peter 1:2 talks about the sanctifying work of the Spirit. And then the Word of God also sanctifies us. John 17, verse 17, Jesus was saying, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. So how is Jesus going about to sanctify us, set us free from the mindset of the world? I remembered, you know, when I was growing up, that's a long time ago, we used sometimes to eat lentils at home. But when you bought lentils at the grocery store at that time, you had to clean the lentils. Have you ever done that? You know, you spread them all out and then you go through and you put the little stones out and the little sticks and the bad ones. It's kind of like, if you've never done it, it's like in the movie Cinderella. Before Cinderella was in the palace, she had to do the lentils, you know, sort them out. Take the bad ones out and just leave the good ones. Have this picture in mind when you think about God is doing a sanctifying work in you. He wants to sort out all these things that are not the truth, the things of the world, the things, the lies of the devil, and things that you imagine yourself. Now, the scripture talks about how Jesus is cleansing us by the washing of the water with the word. That's Ephesians 5, verse 25 and 26. Now, when you do lentils, after you sort them out, you put them in water, and the dirt is swimming up and all the things, and you skim it, and then you wash it and rinse it until the water is clean and the lentils are ready to cook. So Jesus takes the water of God's word, what we have here, to wash us with. And the Bible says how he does that. He uses the written word to instruct us in the truth. That's in 2 Timothy 3:16. And then he enlists the pastors and teachers and others in the church to teach us and help us understand the truth. You read that in Ephesians 4:11. And then he sends the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, to live inside of us and guide us into all truth. That's John 16, verse 13. So now we have all these things in place that's supposed to separate all these things in our life that is not truth, that holds us actually in bondage. So now the Lord is washing us until we are totally pure. At least that's his goal. He wants to do that. Ephesians 5:27 says that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having not no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. Now, what is my part in it? What is your part in it? Just to sit there. Or don't care. Your part is to put your faith in Jesus to set you free. Acts 26:18 says that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. That's what Jesus is speaking. Jesus said, sanctified by faith in me. I need to put my faith in the Lord Jesus that he will do this washing and cleaning and that I will receive it. And then the second thing we need to do is to cooperate. Have you ever tried to wash a little boy's ears behind the ears? You have to pin him down and hold him in a stronghold and then scrub him. That's not what we're supposed to do. When Jesus wants to cleanse us and sanctify us and take the world out of you, we're supposed to cooperate. How do we do this? What does set us free, the truth? So we need to get the truth inside of us. That means Colossians 3:16 tells us how we cooperate. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. That doesn't mean that you come one time to church and hear Pastor Damien or your own pastor speak for half an hour. That means that you are in the word, and you are in the word, and you are in the word, and you are in the word all the time. God told Joshua 1:8, this book of the law or the word of God shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. That's what you need to do. If you want to be free, if you want to have these things separated, the lentils cleaned, you need to meditate on God's word day and night. And then, of course, 2 Timothy 3:16, the word is given us for instruction, for correction, for training in righteousness. You can read it over and over and over that we need the word inside of us. And Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, our mind is still banded, not royalty. So we need to renew our mind. How do we do this? We read in God's word what God says about an area that, from which we need freedom in. Maybe you are full of fear. You read, what does God say about fear? Then you compare. What am I practicing? What do I believe? What do I think? And if you find a difference, then you need to change. You need to throw these bad lentils out and keep the good ones, the truth of God's word. So how free do you want to be? Your freedom depends on what you believe is the truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What do you believe is the truth? Perhaps some of the questions you have or struggles I will mention, and some I might not mention, but maybe you listen very carefully. Maybe you say, I doubt my salvation each time I commit sin. And you struggle and wrestle with that. I remember long ago, we had some neighbors, and they were Christian neighbors. One day, we went to their house to visit them, and they were telling us, full of joy, today we were saved and baptized. I was so confused. I said, I thought you were saved already. And then I learned they believed they were saved until they committed certain sins. And if they failed, they had to be saved again and baptized again. And so that they were saved and baptized again and again and again and again. See, what you think is the truth, that will make you free. Shall we look in God's word? If you struggle with this thing, the truth that sets you free is salvation is not of us and our performance. It is of God's mercy. You read that in Titus 3:5. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. And then John 10:28-29 says, Jesus says about his sheep, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So That would be the freedom. If you struggle with, oh my, I lost my salvation because I thought something wrong. Nothing, not even your failure, can snatch you out of God's hand. Perhaps you think God loves me less because I failed. Perhaps before you came here last night, you argued with your husband. You yelled at the kids and you kicked the dog. And now today, the song Santa Claus is Coming to Town is turning in your head. It says there, he's making a list, he's checking it twice, gonna find out who is naughty and nice. And if you are on the naughty list, you don't get a present. See how often you or we believe our failure puts us on God's naughty list and he don't like us anymore that much. What is the truth that sets you free if you think like this? Romans 8, 38 through 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And that includes our failures. Nothing can separate us from his love. He loves us, and he loves us, and he loves us the same all the time. Perhaps you are living in fear of the bold events, and Carol already talked about some of them. You know, the last few months, it was quite an interesting thing. You know, first Russia invades Ukraine, and then that Malaysian airplane gets shot down, and then Hamas is raining rockets on Israel, and they go to war, and then ISIS is killing and crucifying and beheading people. And the news tells us very soon they may bring that jihad home here to the U.S. And then there is the Ebola outbreak in Africa. And the news reporter tells us with international travel, it's only a matter of time. It's going to come here too. And then you listen to some of these prophecy teachers, and they may be right. I'm not saying they are not right. They say every thousands or hundreds of years, there are four blood moons lining up. And when they fall on a feast of Israel, every time in the past, something very significant is happening. So these blood moons are going to line up between this year and next year. So now, fear has gripped our heart. What is the truth that can set you free from that fear? The truth is in God's word. Matthew 28, 20, Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And then you read in Isaiah 43, 1 and 3, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. God makes these promises. And then you read Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, I encourage you, read it all through. He says, 1,000 may fall to your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. What will set me free from fear? The truth of God's word. Now, perhaps your area you need freedom is you say, I love the Lord, but I cannot overcome my anger problem, or my jealousy problem, or my anxiety, or my addiction. I saw one time a movie. A woman attended an anger management class, you know, in the meditation class to overcome her anger. And in that class, she learned how to take a deep breath before she responds and to count to 10 before she says anything. And she learned also to walk away before she hurt someone. That is pretty good. But do you know? She discovered these exercises are good, but the anger is still there underneath. She just has a new response, which I appreciate she does have that, but the anger is still there. Perhaps you have a problem like that, and you prayed that God will do an instant miracle, but then you discover your anger is still there. What is the truth that sets you free? Jesus said, all authority has been given me in heaven and on earth, Matthew 28:18. And then what Carol wrote, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives. Jesus is anointed. He has the power. There is no authority that he has no power over. If therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. That's the truth. Now, your problem may be different. One time after a meeting, a woman came to me and she was saying, I believe God forgave my sin, but I believe he wants me to suffer for what I did. And she told me I was unfaithful in my marriage. And I hurt my family and I hurt God's name. I was a Christian. Now I feel so unworthy, I feel so condemned, and I am not close to my husband. And she said to me, I believe this is God's punishment and he wants me to bear that for the rest of my life because I did something so terrible. You know what the truth that sets this woman free, and if it's you that has something like this in their mind, I will read you the truth that will set you free. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How much? All unrighteousness. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Psalm 103, verse 12. East and west never meet. Hebrews 10:17. And their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more, no more, no more. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The truth we read will set you free. Or perhaps you say, you know, I was deeply hurt by someone 5 years ago, and it seems I cannot heal. What is the truth that can set you free? The truth of God's word. Exodus 15:26, I, the Lord, am your healer. And then Psalm 23, verse 1 and 3, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then it says, he restores my soul. Part of your soul are your feelings, your emotions, the hurt. Psalm 103, 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, not just the physical ones, but the emotional ones, the spiritual ones, everyone. Isaiah 53, 4, 5. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried, and by his scorching or stripes we were healed, we are healed. This is the truth that will set you free. What about if someone says, I feel so lonely and forgotten. My husband left me 10 years ago. My children hardly come around. They have their own lives. And the church people only come to my house when they need a donation. So what is the truth about your loneliness? The truth that will set you free is Psalm 139, verse 17 and 18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. God thinks about you more than the sand that is on the beach in California. Think about it. And then Hebrews 13:5, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Your freedom depends on what you believe is the truth. Now, some of you may say, what you say sounds good, but it didn't work for me. I tried it. And you may say to me, I know all these Bible verses myself. And I heard 10 sermons on these different subjects, but none of these things set me free. Now, dear sisters, the Bible says that it is impossible for God's word to fail. Isaiah 55, verse 11, God says, so shall my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I send it. So what does that mean? God doesn't lie. That means the fault is never with God if something doesn't work in our life. Therefore, we need to look at us. Could be there something we forgot to do or didn't do it? Now, I found about 3 things that will help you if what you tried didn't work. The word of God, the word of truth, does not work in your life if you don't follow instructions. You know, 1 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be bound together with an unbeliever. For what fellowship has light with darkness? In the area of your friendship, your dating. Galatians 5:24. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Have you crucified the flesh? Have you said no to your flesh? Or you didn't follow instructions? Or Ephesians 4:26. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Are you practicing that? Don't give the devil an opportunity. Are you practicing that? Are you following instructions? Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Do you follow that instructions? First Thessalonians 5:22, flee from every appearance of evil. Are you following these instructions? Perhaps another reason for the scripture, for the truth of God's word not to work in your life is that the scripture is in your head. It needs to go in the heart. I remember one time I had a very urgent need and I had no solutions. I was laying in bed, I can't sleep, I weep about it. Finally, in the middle of the night, I got up, I went to my kitchen, I took my Bible and I read this verse, "Do not be anxious." And then, "For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." That's in Matthew 6, 31 and 32. And I said to myself, I don't want to go back to bed until I can believe this. So I was sitting there and I was reading these few verses to myself for several hours, over and over and over, until it finally went from my head to my heart. And I felt God was speaking this thing in my spirit. And I could believe it. I sat down with tears and I got up with joy, knowing that my Heavenly Father knows my need and He will take care of it. And He did. So maybe what you need to do is to ask God to speak His promise of truth into your spirit, that it's not just in your head. And the third thing that could be our fault if God's work doesn't work, God's word is not working. We need to combine the word of God that comes to us with faith. Why did the Israelites that left Egypt not inherit the promises? God says, "But the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united in faith in those who heard." Hebrews 4:2. Nothing in God's kingdom works apart from faith. Maybe you knew all these Bible verses, but you have not combined it with faith. Jesus said to the 10 lepers, "Go show yourself to the priests." He could have healed them right there, but he didn't. What did they have to do? They left and went still covered with leprosy. They got healed on the way. They believed. Sometimes we need to take a step of faith, like rejoicing and thanking God that His word is true, His truth will become true in my life, even before you see your freedom. So, my dear sisters, how free do you want to be? You will be free to the degree you follow Jesus to sanctify you, to take all this mixture out of your life. The more washing with the word of God, the cleaner you will be. The more you renew your mind with God's word, the more of the truth will be in you. The more you believe and act on the truth of God's word, the freer you become. Dear sisters, your commitment to God's word is your ticket to freedom. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we want to thank you that you determined that we shall be free indeed. And you have given us your word and the Holy Spirit to do that work in us. I pray for myself and for my sisters that we will cooperate with you, that we will let the word of God dwell in our hearts, and that we will be completely free, like you promised. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.